Welcome to the Catholic Sphere. Each week we have a different host and a different focus as we tackle topics important to Catholics around the globe. I'm your host this week, Debbie Cowden. Today we're discussing motherhood, the feminine genius in action. I'm joined by three spectacular models of mothers who are going to discuss with me how moms in all walks of life play important, necessary roles in building up the body of Christ. The first is Lisa Canning, speaker, mindset coach, and author of The Possibility Mom, How to Be a Great Mom and Pursue Your Dreams at the Same Time. It is literally her job to help moms discover their God-given potential and put it to work to change the world. She's the mother of 9 children on earth and 1 in heaven. She joins us from Naples, Florida. Leah Darrow is known across the globe for her speaking, writing, and coaching. A former fashion model, she's the author of the book, The Other Side of Beauty, and has made it her mission to help women discover who God made them to be, and then to courageously live that call. Leah is the mother of 6 children on earth and 1 in heaven, and she's joining us from the Ozarks near Springfield, Missouri. And finally, Kristalina Evert, host of Women Made New on EWTN Radio and co-founder of The Chastity Project. She's the author of several best-selling books, as well as a brand new book from EWTN Publishing, Women Made New, Reflections on Adversity, Transformation, and Healing. She is a mom of 8 children on earth and 3 in heaven, and she joins us from Phoenix, Arizona. Kristalina, I want to start with you. St. John Paul II spoke about the feminine genius in his writings, like his 1988 apostolic letter on the dignity and vocation of women and his 1995 letter to women. He talks about the many unique gifts of women, their receptivity, their gift of self, their unique charisms given to them by the Holy Spirit. And he speaks very highly about women and their impact throughout all of history. What gifts would you say women, especially mothers, bring to the table, both from within the home and out in the working world?
One thing we all definitely have in common is that we are resilient, and we kind of have to be, and we don't have a choice in that, but we also have the grace of God with us. And things can be hard and things can be difficult. But what I like to call mom strong, that I feel like God put that special grace in us, no matter what we're dealing with, no matter what's happening with our kids, no matter how exhausted we are, we have the ability to do what needs to be done in the moment. And I truly believe that it is a special grace from God, because it's not always easy. And those moms that are watching right now that are in a hot mess, or you feel like you're failing, or that you're not a good mom, or you're not running your household right, or you're just overwhelmed, just know you're not alone. You're not the only one, and that God will and can give you everything you need, but don't give in to discouragement. And know if he's asking you to do something, he's gonna give you the grace to do it and the tools.
Amen. I could not have said it better myself. Lisa, as a working mom, your career was not always in the Catholic world, so to speak. You were building up an on-camera career with HGTV and doing really well, but at one point, you had what you refer to in your book as your minivan meltdown. Tell us what prompted this meltdown and what happened as a result.
You know, I didn't have the tools. I didn't have the tools to manage both work and a growing large family. And as a result, I just kept saying to myself, I just got to work a little harder. I've just got to, you know, grind it out a little harder and it's going to be okay. But what I wish everyone knew is that when you leave God out of your plans, it can lead to some problematic outcomes, but we got to invite God into the plans. And so I just was not inviting him into every aspect of my life. And I sat in my minivan that day and I said, Lord, if you want me to work and you want me to have all these kids, you've got to show me the way. And really where it came down to was tools. What skills did I need to run my life? And he gave me the ability to see a way forward.
Amen. And our vocation is a gift to us from God. We don't always realize that on the onset. And so thank you for sharing about that meltdown. I think we all have had similar experiences, and it's nice to see that there is good that's coming on the other side if only we look back to the Lord. Leah, there are a lot of women out there, moms especially, who have these desires on their hearts, these aspirations to be this person, to do this career, to take this job, to gain this admiration. But sometimes on the surface, it It seems like these desires are in conflict with their responsibilities as mothers. And your personal story is a beautiful example of how a woman can rise above the world's idea of a successful woman and recognize how God is calling her to use her God-given gifts for something even greater. Could you tell us how your answering of God's call for your life led you to where you are today?
Yeah, I'd love to. talking about dreams and desires and babies is one of my favorite things to help women kind of come to deeper clarity in. I know that for me, when I had my conversion experience many, many years ago, there was this thought, this idea of like, okay, so I've had this moment, I've had this experience, I'm coming back now to my faith. I guess what should I do? Should I just go find somebody, get married, have a whole bunch of kids, wear the Christmas vest, do the carpool, like do the thing and just quietly live this life, like head down. I'm just going to be this holy woman somehow because I do those things. And I actually like considered this, like this was like a possibility for me. And it was really in that moment when I realized that God, when he calls us closer to him, he calls us closer also into who we've been created to be. So when we go closer with Christ, he's calling us into the person that he's created us to be uniquely and unrepeatably, as John Paul II would say. And so when it comes to our dreams and our desires, I mean, there are some of our desires that are definitely in conflict with our vocation, and we have to work that out in prayer. There's some things that maybe are the things that we should be doing. However, that doesn't mean that God's not calling us into other roles alongside and with our vocation and keeping our vocation paramount along with our relationship with God. So, I mean, I know with me, it started out with me just following God, like being repentant and following that path of repentance in my life. And then that path of mercy in my life began with me sharing that story of mercy with other people. And I began to share that story with mercy many, many times over and over and over. And that got to a point where what I really loved about all of those experiences was those moments after I got off the stage and I was talking with people and we were going through like the nitty gritty of like the practicals of how to, and that spark of like, oh my gosh, like that's where like the dream of what I'm doing now kind of came to be. I was like, wow. But it all was this path. Like we can't connect the dots until we start looking back. So we have all these desires and we have all these dreams, and we do have to check our desires to make sure that they're in alignment with God's will and obviously within our vocation for us as moms. But that doesn't mean that we put down our dreams just because we have our babies. That doesn't mean that. It means, of course, that keep in mind our babies are a part of the dream, but that God is doing his will in every aspect of our lives. And so I want to also encourage people to redefine that word success. To be successful in this world, we don't have to take the world's definition. I mean, Paul has a definition of success, and he talks about the crown of righteousness. So success is something we shouldn't be scared of, nor is God's power. God has power. He has power to heal us, to restore us, to resurrect, to create. And he shares that power with each one of us for his glory. And so when we kind of step into this place where we know that we want to do the will of the Lord and we want to use the talents and the gifts that he's given us to fulfill all of these dreams that he gives us along with our babies, just knowing that God will love us enough to redirect us on the path as long as we just take the step out of the boat and just start wherever we are.
Amen. Amen. And Crystalina, I want to go to you next. What we're seeing with the apostolates that all three of you women have is that your motherhood gives you purpose and is a driving force for why you do what your careers. They're not in conflict. Leah in her Christ-centered personal develop program. Lisa mentoring fellow moms who are changing the world while running their own businesses. And you with your healing and renewal ministry that's so important for women today. Crystalina, what advice do you have for women who are discerning the next steps, but they're not sure when or how to take that leap of faith and answer God's call?
If you're going to adoration or you're going into prayer and you know God has put on your heart, there are things that you have to deal with. There's no better time than right now. And is it scary? Is it hard? Absolutely. But at the same time, you have to trust in the process that God is asking you to go through, because in the end, you will be stronger, you will be whole, and you will become more of who God created you to be. Like Leah really dived into that, and it's true. And we really, as women, like to just stuff everything down and just put some lipstick on it and act like everything is okay when it's really not. And you close the door to the world and you go into your home and you feel like a mess and a failure and you just don't have this and you feel broken. And that is not where God wants you to be. I know, I've been there. I've gone through those moments and it's very hard. But at the same time, if God is calling you, he's also calling you to a better life. He's calling you to go deeper in your relationship with him. And he's also calling you to whatever it is that you were created for. And I think that's a huge thing because you weren't put here just to survive and go through day in, day out, just wishing the day would end and just, oh, you have to start it all over again. No, he wants you to thrive where you're at. You also have to understand there are ebbs and flows. And sometimes you're going to be doing what you want and you're going to be enjoying it and it's wonderful. And there's other times where you really have to just step back and say, okay, Lord, is this really your will for me? And I encourage all women out there, if you know you have some serious stuff, don't think, oh, I'll deal with it later, because right now it's probably hurting your marriage. It could be hurting your children. It could be coming out in your household in different ways, in your frustration, your inability to deal with certain situations. And it's okay. It's okay if you're broken. It's okay if you're wounded. And Jesus wants to meet you right there. And he will lift you up. He will build you up. And he wants to make you whole, to do great things, and to raise your children up to do the same. But you can't give what you don't have. So to face it, to own it, and Jesus will heal it with you.
Amen. Amen. And we certainly can't do it alone, can we? Lisa, we can't underestimate the gift of a good husband. And there, our husbands are right there with us. I think I can speak for all of us when I say that we all have amazing husbands. But let's this turn into a gush on Josh and Jason and Ricky and Dave session, which would be really easy to do. That could be an entire season on its own. Let's talk about how essential it is to work alongside our husband with everything related to our family and work, and how you two really work together to allow your feminine genius to shine and to make these dreams a reality together.
And that required a lot of discernment, and it required a lot of openness to, again, stepping outside, what do I think my plans are? Lord, what are your plans for our life? For my family, it involved a move across the entire continent from Toronto, Canada, to where I live in Southwest Florida. But that was discerned, and there was so much communication and so much willingness for us to decrease and for the Lord to increase. But what I really want to invite people into that I think is really important in this conversation of discernment, of healing, of turning towards the Lord and trusting him, is that we have to pay such close attention to our thoughts. I wish when I was building my career and listening to the world and listening to people who were telling me, you really shouldn't have children because it's going to impact your television career, I wish that I had known that I have a choice in what I think about all of that. And I just, my invitation really is, this is where the skill part is so important. We can think thoughts like, there's no way I can do this. And what does that produce? Maybe exhaustion or despair or disappointment. And what happens when you feel despair? You might like go into your pantry and eat potato chips. You know what I mean? Whereas if we think thoughts, I can do this next thing, that might produce an emotion of curiosity or maybe even excitement or intrigue. And that's going to produce a very different result. And our thoughts can lead us towards the Lord or away from the Lord. And so that has to be like such an important part of this conversation, because in motherhood, when we are, the reality of motherhood is there's a lot of things that do get thrown at us. A child might barf. A child might be potty training and have an accident. You know, right before this show, my house looks like a disaster on the other side of my door. We can have thoughts about all of that that make us tell ourselves something about ourselves that's just not true. And so a big part of this is really paying attention to our thoughts and what we're making them mean about ourselves.
Can I ask you a follow-up question about that? How can we utilize that mindset management tool when it comes to prayer and asking for the grace to get through these difficult moments in motherhood?
I really think it's anything that will point us away from ourselves and towards the Lord. So for example, with you, all things are made possible. Like literally, I just think anything that turns you outwards and towards the Lord, as opposed to inwards and perhaps listening to the words of someone who would not want you to lead somewhere good or somewhere that glorifies God. I think that's another really important thing that I like to suggest to my clients. Who would want you to believe the thought you're saying to yourself right now? Who would want you to believe that you should stay small? Who would want you to believe that you are not a good mom? And just pay really close attention to that trajectory. Where is that thought going to lead you? So I just really love anywhere that leads me out of myself and into the arms of a loving father who's going to remind me exactly who I really am. That's the kind of thought I want to think.
And it's so easy to let your mind get out of control, especially with how pervasive social media is. You're just scrolling through your feed and you're seeing all of these moms who seem to have these picture perfect lives. And like you said, behind this door, you will find a world that is so different than what you see on the camera right now. But it's so hard because that there's that comparison aspect. And Leah, you know that social media is notorious for altering reality, and even Catholic women like us can fall victim to those unrealistic expectations. And when it comes to Catholic motherhood and living out your God-given purpose, what recommendations would you make to women so that they don't fall into that trap of trying to be somebody they're not or trying to live a certain way based on what they see on the internet?
Yeah, so I have a lot of, unfortunately, experience in this realm. I mean, just being on the TV show America's Next Top Model, you know, there's a lot of exposure to the public eye and a lot of comments from anybody and everybody about me. And then from there, moving into this world of being a keynote speaker and being on a lot of stages, I've received so many different experiences with social media and comments about who I am. If I read and listened to everything that everybody said about me, I don't think I could get out of bed. So one of the things that I can definitely suggest is don't read the comment section in your life. You know what I mean? Like, who are you really taking your direction from? And I know it's easier said than done. I'm aware of that. But I think within social media, you know, people are putting out their best self, and even sometimes it's not their real self. Even the best thing that they're putting out, it's still not actually what's going on, but they you know, they feel like they may have to do that. So just keep a realization that what you see is not always real. And I mean, we know that, but to be able to remind yourself that is really important. Also, there seems to be this trend, unfortunately, that I see in Catholic social media and Catholic Instagram and all forms of social media, where it feels like, well, once you follow somebody, you can't possibly unfollow them. You know, like it would hurt their feelings, and I can't do that. Even if that person, whatever they're posting, it might hurt you. Like maybe you're going through something and what they're posting, they're not doing anything wrong, but it's rubbing a wound within you. And so you are allowed, my friends, to restrict or unfollow or block anybody who is not breathing life into your life. And it might not be because of anything they're doing wrong. It might be for your own personal mental and physical and spiritual health. I know that I took my own advice, and about a year ago, I unfollowed every single person on social media. I went down to zero people because I personally was in a space and a time when I needed to have blinders on and I needed to not be in tune to everybody else's life. And I needed to really focus in on mine. And as Kristalina was saying, I needed to deal with my stuff. This was not a slight to anybody else in the world. I needed to deal with my own things and I needed to keep the noise at a bare minimum. And so you're allowed to do that on social media. If someone or an account is not breathing life into your life, if they're not really bringing you closer to Christ, sincerely, if they're bringing out jealousy, if you become a troll, then that's a great sign to pull back, take a step, and just, you know, step away from that world. Because ultimately, it's a great tool to use and it can be used for good, but we know that in social media, there's a lot there that pulls us down. There's a lot there that ends up making us doubt ourselves or doubt our faith or just keeping us distant from God, who actually wants us to be more in contact with Him than in other people's lives.
So then what we're seeing from this discussion that we're having, ladies, is that the most important thing when it comes to letting our feminine genius shine and really putting it into action is, one, that it has to be rooted in prayer and listening to what God's call is for us. We need to have the support of our family and our husband, and to do this alongside our husband, because we are one flesh. And then also we need to guard our eyes with those blinders, like you said, Leah, that we need to make sure that we are only filling our mind and our hearts with good things that are going to support us in pursuit of that God-given mission. And we women really need to also lean on each other and support each other as we're trying to answer this call to holiness, particularly in motherhood. So I'm just gonna go right down the list, and I am looking for some practical steps that moms can take right now in these different arenas to really start to live out the feminine genius. So Kristalina, I'll start with you. When it comes to discernment and transformation, what steps should a woman take to start healing from the past and overcoming these present obstacles?
One, I go to confession and stay in there every 2 weeks. And honestly, it keeps my demons in check. And the vices that I have, especially the ones that come out in my motherhood or my impatience or frustration, just stay as close as you can to the sacraments within the church, because they're weapons in the spiritual battle that we're in. And no matter how broken or weak or less than that sometimes you may feel as a mom, and I know I've experienced that myself, that you have spiritual authority in your home, and what you allow, what you don't allow, and if things are coming after you, get that holy water, get the prayers or just the rosary or get something or the Gregorian chants going in the atmosphere to help you and kind of center you back that Jesus has got you in the palm of His hand, and He is with you, and He will give you the strength to handle anything going on right there in that moment. But we forget to ask, because I know there's times where I've been flustered, and there's times where I literally remove myself and even go in my pantry, and I'm in there like, Lord Jesus, I need your help right now. And the kids are knocking on the door. Who are you talking to, Mom? I'm like, Jesus, I need 5 minutes. And you know what? That's okay. And they know it happens a lot, and that's okay. But just take your authority as a mom in a situation sometimes where I think they get ahead of us and out of control, and know God's there to help you. And we have everything that we need to get through that moment, the next year, the next 10 years. We have to ask and be unafraid of whatever's coming after us. Because I think a lot of people live in fear these days, and they don't know how to pick the weapons that the church gives us. And also become as Eucharistic as your time allows, and go spend time with Jesus. Give Him everything. Give Him your tears, your frustrations, your overwhelming days, whatever's going on. Jesus can and will help you deal with it, because your husband doesn't always have the answers for you, and he always doesn't have exactly what you need, but Jesus does. And sometimes you have to make sacrifices to get to that adoration chapel, but I'm telling you, it's the best time that you will spend on this earth is with Jesus.
Amen. Amen. And Lisa, the possibility mom, some practical steps that moms can take to hone their daily routines and manage these expectations at home.
Yeah. So number one is pay attention to your thoughts. So just to remember that thoughts are optional. You can literally be objective. Hey, is that a thought I really want to think? And so just pay attention to your thoughts. But the second thing I really want to emphasize here is what is essential for you to do. What can anyone else do? And what maybe in this season or forever should just be deleted? So for example, only I can be the mom of my kids, and that comes with certain activities. Only I can date my spouse, everybody. It's like very important. That comes with certain activities. All these things fill up time in a calendar. And so often when I'm coaching moms, I'm like, we've got to make sure that the things that only you can do are in that calendar first. And then you start to get strategic. How can you lighten the load maybe with fellow moms in the community? What can you outsource to babysitters, to people who support you, to parents who are willing to come and do laundry, those kinds of things. But really it's three things. What is essentially you? What can anybody else do and can be delegated? And what really should be deleted either in this season or like forever?
This practical wisdom is so important. And there is only one you. You are the only one who can accomplish the mission that God has set you on. And finally, Leah, the most important thing that women of faith need is that strong relationship with Jesus. So what can moms do right now to recognize and prioritize that union with God?
Yeah, you know, a lot of times we can get really caught up in a lot of really beautiful aspects of our faith, but we sometimes forget about Jesus himself. I mean, Kristalina said it too, like the most important thing you can do is spend time with him. And so how do you do that? How do you carve out time every day with Jesus, the person, the Savior, the Redeemer, the King? How do you do that? Is it through reading the Gospels? Is it through journaling? Is it through just sitting there quietly and really contemplating and meditating on his presence in your daily life? Is it just talking to him about like all the things that you need? Is it going and making that trip to adoration? Is it spending what is it? And then when you have to be able to think about like carving out time for that. And then the second piece to it is that remember that while you're trying to carve out time for that, depending on what season you're at in motherhood, because I don't want to make it sound like these are all just systematic things and you put into place and your life's going to be perfect. Everything's a little messy and it's going to always be a little messy this side of heaven. However, union with God can be found in every messy minute of your day. It can be found in the changing of the diaper. And you can give glory to the fact that you actually have a diaper to change. It could be in sweeping the kitchen floor and thanking the Lord that you have the floor to sweep and that you have little feet that run around and make it dirty. And so this idea of just like gratitude with God is in every moment of every day. And we can choose that, like Lisa was saying, with our thoughts of how do you view God? How do you view your day with the Lord in every little step? But as we prioritize union with God and prayer with him, it's just sometimes remembering that you're not alone with him. And then the last thing I could probably say on this is ask for help, because God did not expect you to do this alone. You know, ask for help. If you need help for a few minutes to somebody to come over, maybe you just need somebody to come over while you're doing laundry so you can have another pair of eyes on all the kids or doing all the things, or just someone to talk to while you're folding the towels. Ask for help, ask for community, because we're not here, we're not meant to be isolated, we're not here to do it alone. So remember that union with God is in every little moment. Also remember that we need to structure our time and have some moments carved out for Christ. And then lastly, ask for help, even if it's a tiny little bit of help, but ask for help.
Amen. There is so much wisdom to share from all three of you. I wish we had more time. You are amazing women. And we need your light so badly in the church today and in the world. So thank you. Thank you for your time, for your insight, and thank you for joining me today, ladies. And thank you for joining us too. We hope to see you here again next week, right here on The Catholic Sphere.